Thank you for listening to Half-Assed Podcast. We went on a bit of a hiatus back in June, but now we're back and better than ever. Today marks season two, which kicks off with an all-new episode, Waco, with Jude, Brix, and Pete. Enjoy the episode, and thank you for listening.
Hey, this is Pete. We're back, and I'm wearing pants because it's almost September.
You can't see him, but he is wearing pants.
I wore pants specifically for that.
Did you really? So this is Britt or Brixlin, and I'm wearing shorts, but I'm also wearing a hoodie. So take that as you want to.
I have sleeves on. Don't need them because it's pretty hot.
Yeah, it's cool inside.
It's cool inside, though.
This is Jude, and I'm wearing shorts, not pants.
And a sleeveless shirt.
And a sleeveless shirt, yeah.
We're all on, like, a different varying... Clothed. Oh, wow. Birds. Clothed.
Yeah. If this is the first episode that you've listened to, we're recording in my basement, so.
After a long summer hiatus.
Yeah.
I felt like it was really fast.
Yeah, I thought it was really fast, too.
It went fast, yeah.
When did we put out our last one? Like, July?
I have no idea. I would have been more prepared if you would have told me there would be a list of questions. I think it was like June. I don't even know. I'm not gonna guess.
Oh, what? Get away or get closer?
Get closer.
Okay, my bad. Closer to the mic.
All right, closer to the mic. So we're talking. we're talking today about American cult leader David Koresh. He was born Vernon Howell in 1959 in Texas.
Is that Vernon Howell his name, or is that the place?
Oh, that's his name. He was born Vernon Howell. He changed his name later on to David Koresh.
David Koresh sounds like...
I like the name Vernon.
I feel like he would be a rock star. He kind of was.
He wanted to be.
He kind of was, yeah.
Oh, I could see that. But I do like Vernon. I like the name Vernon.
That you don't hear that name anymore.
Huh. What's the name of the guy that started the Foo Fighters, was in Nirvana?
Dave Grohl?
Yeah. I feel like that's why I'm thinking he sounds like a rock star.
Well, maybe I will be good at trivia.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it too. I just couldn't think of it. But
it's like you have to
think of it for trivia. We're going to record a trivia episode today.
As well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Later not on. Putting it out today.
No.
Today being the day that you're listening to it.
But maybe next week. I think next week. So that's another thing. We kind of are switching stuff up. So we're going to be doing either like a current topic or history, anything in history, and then the next week it'll be a trivia. So they'll
so every
alternate
other episode.
Every other will be the trivia.
Oh yeah,
because we really like it, even though I really suck. I do enjoy it.
You don't suck. You're the current.
You're the winner.
Oh, that's right.
You're the head cheese. Woo! Right now.
Yeah. I am the head cheese. I should have made myself a crown. Damn
yeah.
it.
Yeah. We can stop at the BK Club and get you one.
All right, next time.
That's pretty sweet, though. Yeah, so every other week, we will have a trivia episode. Mm-hmm. And then we should be introducing a Patreon.
Yes.
And on it here, if you want to join in for a trivia event, you can phone in.
Right.
And then can trivia with us. So either you can, like, kick our asses or be
or
kicked
not.
By us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not me. I'm not good at it.
You
not
were
yet.
Pretty good. You held your own in a quarter there. I think Pete started the last time winning, and then you took over, and then I took over. So I think we all had a lead in it.
So now we could have a wild card, and you, the listener, could be that wild card.
I'm excited about that. I would really like to play along with the listener.
I think that would be really fun. So if you want to be that listener, join our patron, Patreon.
Yep. Patreon.
Be
a patron on our Patreon.
Paycom.
All right, so on to today's topic is Waco.
Yeah, Judy's got six pages, so we're already behind.
Wow.
I know. And that was condensing it. It was just so much.
It was a lot.
So much.
All right, let's have you right out the gate. Let's go.
Well, unless you guys want to do it, and then I can jump in, but it's up to you. Do you want me to go? Or?
Let's start at the beginning. What was the judge's name that changed his name to...
What?
Oh, dear Lord. I could tell you that the judge was in California.
Oh, yeah.
This is not the trivia episode.
Your Honor, please approach the bench.
So if you're not from America, you've never heard of this before, this was a religious cult?
Yeah.
Definitely.
in Texas, in Waco, Texas. And this, the whole thing went down, I think, in, now see, I have too many notes. I think it was in
1993.
I was going to say 83. I'm like, nope, that's wrong.
I believe the date was February 23rd.
You're right.
The trick is to not write things down.
You're right.
That's not the trick. That's not the trick.
I didn't write down anything. So, I only put like about an hour into researching both topics. Ah. So just a heads up there. I'm sorry, but I'm...
That's all right. You're in the process of moving and doing a bunch of stuff. So talk about Vernon. It's like, I'd rather call him Vernon. I don't think he deserved the name David, but anyhow. He never knew his father, but his mother had him when she was 14. 14.
That's so young.
It is. And then she...
Like just letting that sink in, 14?
14.
Did she keep him or was he adopted?
She kept him.
Okay.
And then she was in... Like his dad left her and then she was in two abusive relationships, but...
He left her because he got his license?
He left her because he got another girl pregnant, I think.
Oh, gosh.
Or left her for another girl.
I don't know.
Hey, I'm 16 now.
Yeah.
Got a car.
My acne's clearing up.
Yeah.
I got a jet.
Aw. Yeah. What do you, did it, does anybody know what year David was born? Or
August 17th, 1959.
Oh, wow. Okay. For some reason, I was thinking that he would have been born. Oh, yeah, because he was like in the in his 50s whenever, or is that accurate?
Nope.
How old was he whenever he was in?
When he, when, in, spoiler.
Whenever he was in Waco?
He was in his 30s.
30s, oh.
Well, I think when he originally got there, he was in his 20s, but.
So I think this cult started in like the 50s, right?
It started way before that, and it. It actually was called the Seventh-day Adventist.
Oh, okay. I'd heard of that before.
Yeah, it's a Christian denomination. I'm not sure what they believed. I wanted to delve into that, but mm-hmm. I think that they focus on the second coming of Christ and Revelation.
Oh, that would make sense because that's like what David focused on.
Yeah.
So they may or may not be a cult, the Seventh-day thing.
Right. I'm not sure. I think it varies just like... Other religions where you could have extremists on this end and they call themselves
and normal
that. But
people somewhere else.
And doesn't every religion start out as they call it really? Like that was in one of the interviews. Like that was one of the things is like that David made it a point to. Like I was watching interviews of a couple people that made it out of Waco.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that's not too much of a spoiler alert. But they were saying that David pointed out that Jesus originally had a cult. Like, so he had 12 people following him around.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, they were a religion that wasn't a religion yet.
Right.
Because they were all making jokes about being in a cult to each other. And they were like, ha-ha, yeah, we're in a cult. And then David was like, every religion it starts out as a cult.
Yeah. Which I've heard that before. Yeah.
I just laughed really loud into the mic. I hope that wasn't.
Except for Scientology. It's completely legit.
Ah.
Oh.
We have to say that.
Why?
According to.
So we don't get murdered.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, right.
Then I agree.
If you're in Scientology, get out now.
Don't hurt us.
No.
Neat.
We said you're not a cult. All right. So I heard that there was another fella who was running.
Fella.
What did they call these guys? The Divine something?
Oh, the Davidians.
The Branch Davidians.
That's Davidians. It. So there was another guy that was running the organization, I'll call it.
What was his name?
Oh, I don't know. Jerry Lewis.
What?
I don't think so.
And Dave, or Vernon, ended up like taking a sect of his followers... And they, like, got into a gunfight.
Yeah, but before that, you know what happened?
No.
So, that guy that you were talking about in the gunfight, his dad started this branch. And when his dad died, his mother, Lois, took over. So, okay. She was late in her, like, late 60s when David or Vernon joined the group.
I'm just calling him David.
David.
Yeah, let's stick with David.
David. That's... Everybody knows him by that. Yeah. So, he was sleeping with Lois. He wanted the power.
Dave did? David was sleeping
with Lois, who in her late 60s. And he said that God told him.
If you've ever read the Bible, it says to sleep with
everybody. Everybody you can. Yeah. Everybody. So.
Psych.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, wait, what? I didn't read that either.
I've been doing it wrong.
He was sleeping with her, but I think he wanted the power. So that's where the skirmish came in, because her son also believed that his right to lead.
Oh.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I wasn't sighing at you. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know.
So I guess there was a skirmish, and David and his little group of band of Mary followers left with him, and they hung out for the next 2 years in vans and tents away from the compound. And then this whole gunfight, that's so nuts to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like the Ten Commandments, why aren't the Ten Commandments being like?
Well, whenever we got a new pastor at church,
uh-huh.
they had a gunfight to find out who would be the new leader.
It's like you gotta defend your turf, or like,
right.
It's like alpha.
It's like, I've been at that pulpit for 16 years.
He
pulls 1911 out, starts blasting away.
What in the world? Yeah, because you're not supposed to kill. Thou shalt. Wow. Mm. Well, whatever. Anyway, I'm not here to judge. I'm just here for the ride.
I'm here to judge. Don't call me Judge Judy for nothing.
We'll all have opinions, for sure. So there was a gunfight. I don't think that anybody died, but the son, George, Lois's son,
mm-hmm.
was shot in the hand.
Yeah.
So they did go to court about it.
Wow.
And...
Well, it's good that nobody died.
Yeah. Dave said that he was shooting at a tree and he accidentally shot that guy's hand.
George happened to be hiding behind the tree.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what was said.
Mm. Could you imagine if like you're like just driving past the local church? Like,
I don't think this happened in like the parking lot of the church.
But just
continue.
Let's just imagine.
Just for fun.
Like a turf war. Could you imagine just driving past the local church up here? Like, you go up to the stoplight, make a left, you're just riding down to the highway, and over to the right, you just see like one group of people shooting another group of people, like over the hedges and stuff. Like, I couldn't.
A pastor with like a little collar around his neck, but wearing, what do they call them on the feet? The boots, stirrups, or whatever?
I don't know.
Like the on your hips, like the holsters?
The holsters, the guns, and. And then,
you said
the spurs. Oh, I said stirrups.
Okay, spurs.
Wild Wild West out here.
Yeah.
I want you two to make a movie of this.
Oh, man.
Which, speaking of, there's one on Netflix now. I started it yesterday.
Oh,
and
no.
I went like 5 minutes in.
Not about even. This?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then the first moment that I saw something was inaccurate, which was like the titles were still running, I was like, okay, I'm not going to watch it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was inaccurate about it?
I'll tell you whenever we get to that point.
Okay.
No, at the end, at the very beginning.
Oh.
Because I was like, I watched it from beginning to end. It was long.
The Netflix thing?
Drama one?
The Netflix one. Oh. Well, I didn't know what I was really looking for, though. I was just watching the show. Mm. And then later on, I was like, whenever I was deep into it, I was Googling, like, if it actually happened. And a lot of the stuff did match up towards the end. So I can't wait to hear what didn't match up. All right, so turf war. David won. Well, David went to court.
Mm-hmm.
I shot a tree.
Yep. Nobody got charged with anything.
Wow.
Right.
Mm.
What a life we live in.
And they said that some of the jurors gave him a hug afterward.
Oh, he was supposed to be super charismatic.
That's what they said in this like documentary, I guess, I was watching. They said that, like, that's charisma. If you get jurors to come give you a hug afterward, after you shot a guy.
Yeah.
Like, somehow nuts. You're the victim.
Yeah, I was watching, like, something about his mom, or, like, an interview with his mom from, like, the 90s. I guess I put a little bit more research into it than I thought I did. And she was saying that, like, whenever he was younger, he just always had this, like, I don't know, he was just always different. Like, she bought him a car, the first thing he did, or she bought him a truck, the first thing he did was rip out the engine to try to figure it out. And then at, like, I think 14 is whenever he started looking into the Bible. And then he was starting to be able to break it down and explain it in a way that nobody, it was just super easy to comprehend. And
he put himself into the Bible. I watched an interview with a former member who, like, this guy was... he still believed in David
Koresh. Yeah, maybe we
a lot of them do. Yeah, most of them, not most of them, a lot of them still believe he was
like,
the Messiah.
Yeah.
He never, this guy didn't say that, but like you could tell he was on David's side still. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Maybe like they believe that he definitely talked to God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the definition of Messiah is.
Like he's the second coming.
Okay.
In my opinion. That's what that would mean. I forget what I was going to say about that guy.
I'm sorry.
George?
No, about the...
The trial?
Charismatic?
Oh.
I don't know. Forget about it.
Forget about it. I have a brace wire that keeps poking me in my cheek.
Stop that.
I know, right? It's what I'm screaming in my head.
Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, no problem. You'll circle back to it, I'm sure.
Oh, wait. The followers believed in him. That's what you were talking about.
Not ringing any bells.
No.
Should have wrote it down.
So if nobody was charged with anything, how did David get back into the...
I don't know. I don't know how he ended up being the leader after that.
I'll tell you.
Oh.
So in 1989, George, Lois's son, there was another guy in the group that said he was Jesus. Come back again. And George had enough of it and drove an axe in his skull.
Oh, so he's in jail.
And killed him.
Wow.
I don't know if it's Texas, so pastor? They have their own rules. Huh?
That was their pastor? What is happening? So,
he ended up being declared insane.
Yeah.
And he went to a mental hospital. And while that was happening, the compound was several thousand dollars in debt for back taxes. And David and his group got enough money together to buy it.
Wow. I don't know how to react right now. Like, I think that it's cool. It's good that they were able to pay off the taxes and for David to get into... become the pastor after like the last pastor split somebody else's skull open with an axe. Mm-hmm. But it's not very good what happened to them later on. I don't know, but I guess it's all God's will, right?
Yep.
God's plan.
I forgot to say that when, back up, when David was having relations with 67-year-old Lois, he said that God had spoken to him and said that, they were to have a child together, and the child would be anointed, or he would be the Messiah. That was God's plan. But at one point, I heard that she had a miscarriage, although I'm not even sure how she 65. Could have gotten pregnant at that age. Anyhow, then he said that God told him that Lois wasn't worthy.
Oh.
Wouldn't God already know that? But anyhow, she wasn't worthy, so he took a 14-year-old as his bride.
Yeah. Like you do.
Like you do.
Yeah, there was in that one interview where, I don't know if we watched the same one, the dude was Australian, but he...
I did hear that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was the guy that got out.
Yeah.
Through a hole.
Yeah. He did not want to give his life for the cause, but he still believes in David to this day. But they asked him, they were like, well, how do you... Like, David was sleeping with girls that were like as young as 11 years old. Like, one of his wives was 11, and the Australian dude was like, well, I didn't know the ages of anybody. And David
you
said,
you can tell. I mean, you might not know she was 11,
but I mean, like, that's pretty prepubescent.
Yeah, yeah. You knew she wasn't close to age of consent.
Yeah, yeah. But he said that David said that God spoke to him, and that it was all part of God's plan. So he trusted in David. And so he just trusted that David was doing the right thing. He didn't think, and they were like, well, don't you see David as like a pedophile? And he was like, well, seeing David as a pedophile would be like seeing God as a pedophile, you know? And I was just like, okay.
Cool.
He thinks God David speaking, is like connected.
I was like, wow, still to this day. All right, bud. Because like, I don't think that was that long ago. Like the interview I watched. With the Australian dude. But even Waco wasn't that long ago. I like how I'm just calling it the location.
I think that's what everybody calls
does.
It.
Yeah. Everybody calls it that.
Yeah, it's just, or no, it's almost 30 years ago. It'd be 27 years.
Oh, dang.
So even going back further, I'm going back to when David was a kid. He had dyslexia, and he was made fun of a lot in school, and he always felt like he was shunned, and he was bullied a lot. And then he ended up quitting school in ninth grade.
How's he have dyslexia, but he can, like,
read the Bible?
Read perfectly fine. I thought that was what, like, dyslexia was. You mixed stuff up.
You saw letters backwards, or maybe it wasn't.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I don't know. I think they were.
Or maybe he was healed. Maybe that was a part of his.
God could do it.
Yeah. Maybe that was a part of his history.
Yep.
God's plan. That's what they kept saying. That's why I'm like, okay.
I did hear an interview by a girl named Carrie Jewell was her name. And she said when she was 10, her mother, who was also a Branch Davidian, took her to a hotel room and dropped her off to be with David.
Oh, like, is that like what, his like youngest wife?
Yeah. She may have been 11 when they got married, but at 10 was when
they met.
They met up at the hotel room. But I don't know why they would have to leave the compound to go to a hotel room.
Yeah, that's weird.
Seems kind of shady.
Huh. I don't know.
And the interviewer said, you know, how did that make you feel? And she said, I didn't feel anything because we are groomed from a very young age. They tell us about sex. They know, we know what's going to happen. We're eventually going to become his wife. You know, like you know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, I was like, I heard about like how they discipline their kids.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. So they knew that when, because David said that one day the police were going to come and kill them all. So they needed their kids to obey them at the drop of a hat. Like any word that they commanded, they needed their kids to listen right away. So it was like they were constantly rolled in fear and they were constantly in like survival mode and like they were beat really bad. One mom said that she felt so bad because she beat her kid with a paddle that so bad that it the little kid bled.
Oh, right.
Wow. Yeah.
They all said that he commanded them to do that to their children. And if they didn't, he would beat their children till they bled.
Yeah.
His own son, Cyrus.
Like punching them?
No, with a paddle.
With a paddle on their butt.
Yeah. I didn't know you could get you spanked bleed. Until you bled.
That's terrible. But these kids were so afraid of doing the wrong thing. I mean, they would get beat if they spilled a glass of milk.
Yeah.
Your fine motor skills aren't developed when you're little. So God would know that they're not in control of that. So why are you beating them?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because it's not in their control to do that.
It's because it's ridiculous. They needed to be able to listen to their parents at the drop of a hat because one day police were going to come and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed to be able to like react.
But I understand that, but there's a difference of being cruel.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And being disciplined.
I don't understand why you have to way even different. Have discipline to be killed by a cop. Like you could just, if you're, that's your life goal or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
That's pretty easy.
I don't know.
Die.
In the compound, it didn't have any water. It didn't have any heat. No. It didn't have like
No plumbing.
How'd they have water for 51 days?
I don't know. They didn't have any running water.
But they did stockpile a lot of things.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, so.
Oh, like the milk.
Yeah, to hear about the milk.
Anyways.
Anyhow, yeah.
So, at some point, they started stockpiling weapons. Are we ready to start talking about that?
Sure.
They were buying, like, AR-15s. Well, they were buying all kinds of weapons.
Yeah.
But primarily, like, semi-automatic rifles. And they were buying conversion kits to turn them into fully automatic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So they said on the, like, radio, or on the documentary, that they had machine guns.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they were talking about, was right. Like, fully automatic rifles.
Mm-hmm.
But there may have actually been a full-blown machine gun. I saw they said a 50 caliber cannon. I don't know like what they're actually talking about, but I kind of assume it was a 50 caliber machine gun. But that's pretty freaking heavy duty.
Yeah,
they had a lot of heavy duty. That's like the afterwards that fire, that ATF, which is
alcohol, tobacco, firearms.
Right, division of the government said that they researched it, and he had rocket launcher, grenades. 90 pounds of aluminum metal powder, which is an explosive powder. Just so many things. Like, a religious group who are innocent would not have to stockpile this stuff unless you're going to do something illegal.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
So that's what drew their attention, pretty much.
I feel like they had more than defense in mind, in my opinion.
No, I think David was crazy. And I think that they, because like otherwise, like he legit thought that the police were going to come to kill them because he told them over and over and over. So then he was stockpiling a bunch of stuff in the ammo room. I think he was just legit. And he thought God was talking to him. Oh, for sure. He was definitely crazy.
I don't think he really thought that.
Wait, I don't think he really thought that either.
I don't think he really thought Jesus was talking to him. I think it was a way to have people controlled, in my opinion.
And I do too, because I feel like he and his life have never been looked up to. He had never been praised. He'd never been adored. He'd never been...
But there was a point
So he couldn't give that up.
But there was a point during, like, after he got shot in the standoff part where he couldn't hear the voice of God anymore. And he was losing his mind. And then eventually, like, he got it. He was waiting for a sign. And
The movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
I'm not saying it didn't happen.
I'm not saying it didn't happen either. But
I keep saying that.
I think it was in documented. I think it was in the conversations that had been documented whenever he was talking to the ATF person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so he was waiting for a sign from God, but he had lost the ability to speak to God anymore. Oh,
during the stage. Okay.
Yeah.
Awfully convenient to lose your communication and need to stretch stuff out a little bit.
Well, yeah, yeah, but. I don't know. He was prepared to die, though. So I don't know. I don't know. It could go either way. To me, he sounds like he had mental issues.
Well, he could have definitely had mental issues. Well, he definitely had mental issues. Yeah. But hey, if you're a Branch Davidian, shut this off now because you're going to be mad at us at the end.
Oh, yeah. I might champion for you for a little bit. I feel bad because, you guys were just following what you thought was right.
Yeah.
You were just a little brainwashed for a bit. And I hope that's not offensive.
Are they still a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. But I lived with a family right up the hill here where we thought that Y2K was going to be real. So we kind of did the same thing. We stocked up on firearms and pantry food and a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, but you didn't there's a difference of being prepared and being way out there.
Yeah. This is a bit.
And really out there. I imagine they weren't acquiring illegal firearms.
Not gonna say.
Yeah, I'm gonna plead the fifth there because there was some shit that we should not have.
Let's
had.
Move along. Let's
okay, move, right yeah, along. Move along, right little doggy.
I don't own any firearms now. None. Come at me, bruh. Come at me.
I can't say that.
You just got them stashed in places you can go find them.
I have boxes of grenades.
No, I don't.
So that was a joke, people.
Speaking of boxes of grenades, the reason that this all got set off was a UPS driver was delivering a package to the compound, which is called Mount Carmel, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's where this all took place in Waco, Texas.
Did we ever actually say exactly what it is in case that somebody doesn't know?
What?
What this event is?
What are you talking about?
Did we ever say that it's a religious compound that got invaded by the ATF and had a 51-day siege that led to a bunch of people dying?
No, but that's what the whole thing's about.
Yeah. But thank you for...
Yeah, but just in case they didn't know, I want to make sure that they
going,
can...
Yeah,
because we've been all over the place. I want them to be able to follow.
Okay. So what set off the 51-day siege in Waco, Texas?
There we go.
Yeah.
A religious group, could be called a cult.
The Branch Davidians.
The Branch Davidians. So what set this all off was a UPS driver was delivering a package to Mount Carmel in Waco, Texas, and the package opened up and a half dozen grenades rolled out.
How freaking scary.
They were not live grenades.
But you wouldn't know that. I wouldn't know that if I was a UPS driver.
How were they not live grenades?
They didn't have anything explosive inside of them.
So they were just shells.
Yeah. Not a replica. Yeah, it was a shell.
Okay.
Oh, so I wonder if that's what the 90 pounds of aluminum metal powder was for.
Could be.
Oh, to put into the grenade.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Son. We are figuring it out.
Yeah.
I guess the UPS guy put it together, I just delivered stuff from gunpowder.com or whatever to them. And now there's
grenade shells,
grenade husks. Like there's there's nothing. It's an inert grenade. There's it's not dangerous. Right. It's as dangerous as a can of pop. But you fill up a can of pop with a primer and gunpowder, it's now dangerous. So like he knew that they were getting everything they needed to make these grenades live. So he talked to his wife about it, and they decided, yeah, if they're not doing anything wrong, then it'll be fine.
Right.
So he contacted law enforcement. I don't know if it's the FBI or who, but that's how this
all
got set off. And he feels responsible for it.
I know. That's so crazy. His wife and him still feel responsible for this whole thing.
I think they have nothing.
Dude, let it go. It's not your fault. The
Davinians were at fault.
They were totally at fault. If
they weren't doing anything wrong,
right,
then they would have been fine.
Right.
And they wouldn't have... I don't know who fired the first shot, but...
They still don't know who.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever know.
Okay, no. So I'm going to have to interject here. So I don't believe I don't believe the way that the government handled that situation was right.
Are you talking about the whole thing now?
Yeah.
Let's wait till the end.
Well, like you just said that you thought the Branch Davidians like were doing like the what happened there was because of like gross police.
No. Back up. If you're just taking what Pete just said, and there were grenades found,
yeah,
and the local law enforcement said,
"Oh, okay, I got you."
All right,
okay. So they get there, like if there's nothing there, then they'd be fine,
right?
But their leader's crazy, yeah, and he thinks that the police are going to come in and shoot them, so he's stockpiling to try to protect them to stand off later on. Okay,
right. But they were doing something wrong. They did have grenades.
They did have illegally.
They were turning those legal things into illegal things.
And there was pedophilia happening.
Right. There was a lot of stuff. At first, going into this, I really thought I was going to be on the Branch Davidians like side.
I kind of was at one point, too. I was back and forth. I was like, what is going on?
I just don't think that the way that the situation was handled was correct.
For sure. I don't think anybody would be like, yeah, the government did a terrific job.
They were even saying that they didn't, you know, they're even saying, really? No, we messed up. Yeah. But like, I mean, who would be prepared for that?
It's never happened, at least to that scale.
Well, yeah, true. But.
And the people who were the negotiators in that, they're trained for bank robbers and stuff, not crazy men who
have
think
a bunch
that they're
of kids
Jesus
and, yeah,
or like the second coming or the father of Jesus.
So I don't know how like accurate like the what are they called, the negotiators part was in the series, but I think it was pretty accurate because they brought in a specialist that was actually really able to communicate and work with David. But then it was taking too long. So the government was pushing and pushing and pushing, and then eventually just took over. And it led to like this gross like massacre that happened. It was a massacre.
So there was a tactical team who wanted to just rush in and just like let's just take them down. And the negotiators were like, no, we have to do this a specific way.
Yeah.
We just need to calm down. We have to figure out how to handle it. We want it peacefully done. And yeah, so they were back and forth. The government had two things going on back and forth.
Because how many kids are in there?
Like, there were
46 or 49.
I was going to say close to 50 kids.
I couldn't remember which it was. I wrote 46 or 49 in my notes.
And I think that was like a third of their population. So like,
it was a good bit. Yeah,
it should have been the peaceful thing, but they were feeling pressure because it was taking so long. Like a 51. 51 week seat or like
day.
51 day siege. So that's almost 2 months.
Yeah, that's a really long time.
So
they were feeling pressure from like the upper, like the upper management of the government. And then eventually the people that wanted to just storm in there and do it, like just kind of like took the reins.
Well, anyway, I feel like after 2 months, like it was close to 2 months. So they did like, they didn't just Jolly Roger in. I mean, they did the first day, but after that, they did wait a good deal. I feel like, I mean, I don't know that I would have had the patience to wait 51 days. if I knew kids or thought kids were being abused and knew people were being...
Well, if you had to go...
That would drive me nuts sitting in there thinking that kids were being abused.
Would you ever open fire onto a building that had 51 kids in there?
Probably not.
So that's my... So 2 months, like I would never have done what they did. Mm-hmm. Like that's not...
They did that first day.
Yeah.
They did that first day.
And then they were like, oh shit, we did something wrong.
But maybe they were being shot at too.
Yeah, because
we don't know who fired the first shot.
Well, the survivors said that they're pretty sure that it was from... No, it was... And in the like reports and stuff, things are skewed. It looks like it was the government that shot the first fire, or mm-hmm. the first shot. And
officially, though, they're saying they don't know to this day.
Officially, the government's saying that. The Tulsa massacre never happened. So what?
Officially, it never happened?
Yeah, it's erased from like all the paperwork and everything. Wow. So
that's the thing from like 1921.
Yeah, where like the black community made their own community, and then the white people came in. And
oh, here's a fun fact. The whole time this was going on, you know who was sitting there protesting this?
Yeah.
Like there was a bunch of people protesting, you know, stop the government or whatever. Don't. What's his name? McVeigh bombed Oklahoma City.
Timothy McVeigh was like sitting on his car watching the whole thing.
Really?
They interviewed him.
What? Yep.
Well, yeah. This was years before.
Oh my God.
Timothy McVeigh didn't even, that wasn't a name anybody knew. No. Yeah. Unless you knew him, I guess.
So, yeah, he wasn't a part of this group. He was just like protesting the government being there.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Well, I feel like there had to be intervention with the amount of, with the activities that were happening. Mm-hmm. But I think that the intervention that happened was very like unjust to do to, for the American government to do to their own people.
Okay.
Let's talk about what happened.
Go ahead.
So the FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco and Firearms showed up to...
Investigate, just to see,
like, hey, we just want to look around.
Yeah.
And...
Oh, wait, go ahead.
And gunfight started. But they did roll up with, like, trucks full of, like, SWAT people. And, like, there was, I don't know how many FBI, like, we'll say agents.
I think there were, like, 70. I don't know. But you know the original reason? They went to serve him a warrant. Just a warrant. For a legal weapon. That was it. They didn't go there to storm in and destroy them. They went to serve a warrant. But they knew because of what he had, it could turn into a gun battle.
Yeah.
So they were trying to be prepared. Go ahead, Pete.
So I have a friend of a friend of a friend.
Okay.
Who goes to gun shows and sells like shotgun shells that are loaded with like stuff. Whenever you shoot it, it blasts like fire out of the barrel.
Oh, dang.
I mean, it's not any... It's probably less dangerous than a like regular bullet.
I was hoping for confetti.
Confetti.
Like he loads shotgun shells with weird stuff, like confetti or M&Ms or whatever. Just like weird stuff like that. But he also sold, I don't know exactly what it was that he got in trouble for, but he had this ingredient that he sold. And I guess
separately.
But still, like he owned all of them. Mm-hmm. I think like his permit, like there's classes of permits that you have to have. I think his permit expired, something like that, and he still had it.
Mm. Oh.
So I was driving past this guy's house one day, and there was like tons of black SUVs and flashing lights. And I'm like, I didn't know it was that guy's house.
Right.
But like I was at a fire a couple days later. I was like, yeah, guy so many miles away, I saw all these cars. Something definitely was going on. And they're like, oh yeah, that's my buddy so-and-so's house. And he told me like what happened. That guy spent a couple of years in jail for that.
Wow.
I believe it.
But anyway, so like that guy, he was by no means like a dangerous man, but they don't know that.
Right. They don't know that.
And so
they're going to be scared coming into this because they're not going to know. They just know that there's a ton of ammunition.
And they know there's like 150 people living in there.
They know there's grenades. They know there's rocket launchers. So how scared are the agents?
You wouldn't roll up with like two cops to do that. So it's not crazy that they showed up with basically an army,
right?
In my opinion, to serve that warrant. So that's all I was getting at. Mm-hmm. This guy lived by himself, and they had like 40 people there.
Yeah,
I think that's crazy. So in the series, there was like they had an underage or undercover person in there too in the Davidians, the Branch Davidians, And I think from that perspective too, that I think that guy also verified that it was the police that shot first, but he got taken off of the, he got taken off of it and like completely like hushed because they thought that he was compromised. They thought that he was just like, believed David.
Well, he was studying. Did you know that he was studying with them that morning?
Yeah.
It was like 5:30 in the morning when they decided they were doing a Bible study, and then David got called away because there was a phone call. Mm-hmm. And then he came back to the Bible study, but he was all scatterbrained. And then he walked over to the agent.
You think he got tipped off?
Yeah.
That's what the phone call was?
Yeah, it was, because it was
the undercover dude?
Yeah, the undercover dude, which he said he knew all along was the undercover dude, but he was still trying to, you know.
Of course, he would have to say he knew
he was the undercover
dude, because he's talking to God. God would know that dude
Undercover. I think he knew too, because it was like somebody just like automatically popped up in the house across the street from him and that had been abandoned for years.
And they said that there were students or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he was also really suspicious, and he kind of knew that they were doing illegal activities, so he's probably looking for it anyway.
Yeah. So even if that dude wasn't an undercover dude, he's probably like, this dude's an undercover dude.
Yeah.
If he's not, he's about to be.
Yeah.
So he stopped the Bible study and he walked over to him and he said, I'm going to guess the guy's name was Alex. I don't know. He walked over and he shook his hand. He goes, good luck, Alex. He said, they're coming. They're coming. FBI are coming now.
Yeah. Because he was.
And then he left. He said, good luck, David. And then he left.
He was trying to buy them time, and he was trying to like defend that it was actually like a peaceful commune.
But it was supposed to be a surprise attack, so that when that undercover agent found out that David knew that they were coming, he flew to that whatever they, so that compound, or the, so not flew, but he rushed over to where the FBI were, and he was like, you got to call it off. He knows you're coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But then
And the government, the rule from the government was, if they know you're coming, cancel everything.
Really?
That was what the order was from the government.
Wow.
And they,
because they didn't want anybody getting attacked or hurt. So they wanted them to be surprised.
So the person in charge just like overrode it. It's so nuts. Yep. Like it's just like the wrong people are in places of power a lot of the time. Not all of the time, but like a good amount of the time. Well, for things to happen like this, it's like a perfect storm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think too, like even like you just completely take something separate, like the Army, the Navy, like all of our armed forces. If they were all somewhere, they're going to do like, oh, the Army's tougher than the Navy or Navy. So are their commanders always talking? If they had rushed in, so you have so many leaders commanding them, there's a lot of things that are going to get screwed up.
Yeah.
So the first, like, this is now where I noticed that the show was wrong.
Okay.
The like gunfire started.
Uh-huh.
And in every documentary I watched, David Koresh called 911 and was like, hey, this is David Koresh. There's people shooting at my house. And they're like, where are you? And he goes, what do you mean, where am I? Like, I'm at
the house.
I'm at Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
And your people are shooting at us. Tell them to quit shooting. There's women and kids in here. We're not trying to fight you guys.
Right.
Which, yeah, they were. But but in the TV show, he like walked out and he's like, what are you doing? he's like standing out in the front of the house, like with his arms up, like,
I think that was
go away.
I think that was in the TV show.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I like not no, in no, real no, life. No, I think that he called in the TV show too at some point. Maybe so they're gonna change up shit up a little bit. I'm swearing. You can tell I'm tired.
I'm swearing.
So they do things for like dramatic effect, or like they change up stuff. It's not gonna be exactly true to the events, you know. Like they gotta do things for cinematic effect.
Right. Well, I just didn't wanna start watching the show. I'm going to watch the show now.
Yeah.
Because
It's really good.
But I didn't want to be talking about stuff and it be the inaccurate stuff.
Right.
So it was definitely a phone call was the real thing, not him walking out and going, stop shooting. Because like there were still bullets flying while he's saying that.
Yeah. I think
in the show.
I think in the show he walks out and he says that, and then he gets shot, and then he comes in and he calls. I think that's what happens. And he's like, "They're like, your people are shooting at us. Like, we don't want to fight you. Like, we have kids and women in here. Please stop." So I don't know. Maybe if you would have watched like 5 more minutes, Actually, I want to hear your opinion after you watch it.
Yeah.
And see what's going on there. Because I was only Googling, like, top level stuff. Because this story just sounds like it's so unbelievable.
It was just mismanaged. Is that what you...
Yeah. Like, but it's just, like, so... It's, like, it seems like it's fake. Like, it seems like it's a real... Like, it's just a story. But it happened. It's, like, real people lost their lives due to mismanagement.
I mean... We can't blame the government for all of it. Like, these people were shooting back at the cops.
I think on the first day, four ATF officers were killed and six Branch Davidians were killed.
Yeah.
After that, the negotiator called in and said, we want to cease fire. We want to come get our injured, let you deal with your injured, and then we'll be back into contact. And David let them come in and get their injured officers out. And then that negotiator said, could you send, like, on day two, he was like, can you just send the kids out? Can you just send the children out? And he said, I'll send some children out. So he began sending them out on day two.
I wonder why he did. I mean, I'm glad he did, but.
Well, because he knew that they're like, whoever, probably because he knew whoever was going to get left behind is going to die. Like, he believed with every like atom of his body that this was his soul's life's purpose, that God, like, he was meant to die. He was a martyr for God.
Okay. I appreciate that he didn't want all of the people to die.
Yeah. Yeah. But he had, at the time that this went down, he had 20 wives and 15 children his own.
And I think all the children that he had let go, none of them were his children.
None of them were his. Right. Right.
So he was okay with letting other people's children go, but not his own.
And he didn't let all of the children that weren't his go.
Right.
Because a few days later, I don't know how long, it was a while, 10 days?
There were six children left in there that were not his. Go ahead.
Do you know how many days it was before they ran out of milk inside? I think you can estimate.
I'm going to say it was probably around, like, day 21.
Okay.
Wow. That they contacted him and said, we'd like to send some milk in for the kids. And then the negotiator said, and we want you to send four more children out.
Mm-hmm.
And then David just paused and he said, and then the negotiator said, don't you need milk? Don't you want milk for the children? He goes, yeah, for the babies. And then they sent the milk in and he never sent any children out.
I thought he sent kids.
Not after the first. What was it? The first bunch was let go, and then he had 21 kids still with him,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't let any more go.
Oh, okay.
At that point,
they gave him 6 gallons of milk, and he was supposed to send, I think, four kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave him milk, and he sent no kids.
I thought he hooked him up with some kids that time. There was another.
They might have sent milk in another time. I know that they had been sending him things mm-hmm. off and on.
Later on, to get children out, he said that if they played his sermon on the radio,
mm-hmm.
he would release, I don't remember how many kids.
He said that he would give himself up. He actually said, I'll give myself up and release the children.
Not initially. The first time, it was like on a local Waco channel.
Oh, okay.
And I think he released a kid or two kids for a 2-hour sermon, something like that.
Yeah.
And then
talking about the national.
Right.
When he said the national one. Yeah.
A day or two later, the negotiator said, what would you do if I put you on cable TV? Or maybe, I think it was cable TV. On like the Christian show or
station.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that's when he said that he would give himself up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they did it. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how many hours it was. And then he's like, oh, I talked to God about it. He said, I shouldn't go.
Yeah, I need to wait. I need to wait here.
So the negotiator's like, you lied to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I didn't. And he's like, what does lying mean to you, Mr. Koresh?
Yeah.
And he's like, God, like, he just kept ignoring the answer and saying, God told me this isn't the right time. So, like, he played that negotiator. But that's, I mean, the negotiator knew probably that that was going to happen.
Right.
Okay. You still have to take that chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because maybe this will end peacefully. Maybe he will do what he says. Because he, for the most part, had done what he said, with the exception of releasing all the children.
How did you feel about, like, the psychological warfare that they were doing?
Go ahead,
Jean. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, by psychological warfare, I think you're talking about the noises, the music?
Yeah, the loud noises, the lights blaring, like, flashed, or, like, blared. And so they were, it's like kind of like what they do at jail. Like, they were lighting up everything so that you have no, like, we need to sleep, we need quiet. So they blared huge floodlights into the house and blared, like, demonic noises and demonic sounds and, like kind of like subliminal messages and junk at that house for
they were playing long. Tibetan chants.
Uh-huh.
The sound of
really?
The sound of rabbits being
slaughtered.
Slaughtered. That's it.
There was a handful of other things. Oh, but it was just like stuff that would be annoying.
Nancy Sinatra song. These boots were made for walking.
Are you seeing? Oh, because they started singing it. They started playing the music back at them.
So, like we said at the beginning of this, David Koresh like wanted to be a rock star.
Yeah. So I didn't think he was half bad.
No, I didn't listen to any of his music. Yeah. But he had a band at the compound. So they played rock music back at the FBI and the people outside. And they had like a better sound system than the FBI was using. So like they were drowning out. I mean, it's still like, I think the whole point of it is to keep you from sleeping.
Yeah.
And to like make your thinking go bad. Like,
yeah, it's to wear you down mentally. It's psychological warfare.
But so in that interview I was talking about with the guy who was there, who I said was still like believed in Koresh.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, like, why would you want to make crazy people crazier?
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's what the negotiator was saying in the series, too.
Because,
like, why would you?
So that wasn't the negotiator doing that.
No.
That was the HRT, the hostage rescue team. Yeah. That was.
Which makes no sense. Because, like, how would that ever help a hostage rescue? Well,
in, like, military, the military way of thinking of it.
Yeah.
You want them to not be on top of their game. Like if you just had a great night's sleep, you're going to react quicker than if you've been awake for 48 hours.
No, that is opposite. So if you have a good night's sleep,
you start calmer. Hallucinating after so much time.
Yeah. So, but you're calmer awake. And you'll react from a more like you need sleep. So if you're well rested, you're more likely to
make a good decision
and calmly like, work through your shit. But if you're sleep deprived and you have these crazy noises playing at you and you have a constant light, you're more likely to try to hurt somebody because you're driving that person insane.
Like, so that's what I was saying.
Oh yeah.
Like you're gonna make better decisions.
Oh yeah, I thought you said okay.
If you had good sleep.
My bad. Mm-hmm. So why would you? A good decision would be to like release more kids.
I think that they were just trying to drive them nuts to say like everybody would be like, David, just turn yourself in. Like even like
or
the
even,
mothers of the children, the babies are crying and they're just like making life hard. Like just do it. Just give yourself up. Like
more pressure from
or suffering for you.
Or to agitate them to shoot again. Or to try to throw a grenade. Or to like try to.
Oh, I didn't see it that way. I thought they were just trying to make them. Give themselves up, but
I mean, if you're constantly agitating somebody like that, and you they're already know that,
to begin with or something.
If you think that they're actually violent, if you thought that they actually shot the first shot, why would you do that? That's gonna cause them to react and try to fight you off.
I think because that one of the negotiators said that he's been with the FBI for many, 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 many years, and he's never met anybody like David Koresh. He said. He was like a chameleon. As soon as we figured out one way, like we would be able to get through to him, he would completely change.
Huh.
And then as soon as we thought we figured that out, he completely changed again.
Hmm.
It was like, could never get through to him.
So like we'd already kind of hit on this, but the hostage rescue team and the negotiators
yeah.
were on completely different wavelengths.
Yeah.
the negotiator said he went to the restroom. They had like put Porter John's nearby. And while he was in there, he saw that somebody had written on the wall that, do you know what the negotiator's name was? The main one?
Byron, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if that's his first name or last name, but I think it's Byron.
So it said, Byron is a Branch Davidian. Like, the hostage people were saying, like, he doesn't want them out. Like he's happy.
Calling them a traitor. Him yeah. a traitor or whatever.
So, like, they were completely different sides of the table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they're two different mindsets completely, too. So the military is, like, the hostage rescue team is kind of, like, attacking, or they want it over quick, or they just want them to force them to listen to them, mm-hmm. to do what they want them to. And the negotiator is like, we want this to end calmly. We want to work with you so that we can get to a level where everybody walks out of this unhurt. Mm-hmm. So it was like, that's two completely different tactics and mindsets. I couldn't imagine being like, and also like the flip-flopping. Could you imagine like being in there and like talking to the negotiators and being like, yeah, okay, they're kind. And then the next day they're like blaring rabbits scream, like dying at you. Like, I don't
know. Right. The negotiator was saying like, how are these people going to believe us?
Yeah. Or like, trust them.
Trust us whenever we're doing this contradictory stuff to them.
Right. For like a lot of horrible situation.
Do we need to take a break?
Yeah. Thank you for listening to part one of Waco. You can catch part two next week, Wednesday, September 9th. And if you haven't done so already, please like and subscribe the podcast and follow us on Instagram and Patreon. Catch you next time.